Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program, and Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. And we are back in award season. It's Emmy time, right?
You know what it is? This is like our sports department doesn't name Athlete of the Year until now. And you go, right. Well, all those kids are out of high school. Do they really care anymore? And I think that's what it is with the Emmys. You wonder, do people care? We're looking at the new seasons of everything now. And am I looking back to those old ones? But it's a party. So they get to go to a party.
Right.
And I'm already looking at new shows that could be potential for next year. So it's hard to kind of get back in that mode of, here's the ones you need to see. The only show I saw all year that I thought was, yes, this is one that stands the test of time, is Adolescence. I really thought that was the baby reindeer of this year. That was the Fleabag of this year. One of those shows that kind of you'll remember and maybe go back and revisit at some point. But a lot of this stuff, really? I don't know. How about you? Did you think it was a good year or a bad year?
I thought it was sort of a mixed year. I don't have an opportunity like you to watch as many different shows. So like Adolescence, I just haven't had a chance to watch.
Terry, here's where you have to go. I don't have all that free time that you have.
I'm too busy. I don't have all of your free time. But in all seriousness, you know, there's some shows that I would like to see. Like Adolescence, it's on the list. I got to get to it. But on the flip of it, with the dramas, I pretty much watched them all. I mean, we're talking White Lotus, The Pitt. I'm very well versed in all of those. And yeah, I mean, those I really made time for. Shrinking in the comedy category.
Right.
I enjoyed that a lot, but I just don't have the time to dive in super deep and see as many as you do. I mean, from all I can say is with drama, that's going to be a tough category because I think like of those three shows, any of them could win, but which one will?
If you were voting, what would you pick?
I think the one I wouldn't pick is The Pitt, only because I don't think a medical drama is that unique anymore. You know, it's been done so many times.
Sure, it's built in.
I know I know they took a different perspective by just following one shift, and each episode was an hour. So it's like 24, but for doctors. But I think I would probably lean to Severance over White Lotus. Cause I don't think this was the strongest White Lotus season. It was really good, but Severance was just good.
Yeah. Well, and it's original.
Right.
You kind of know where White Lotus is going, you know, even from their openings are all the same. They introduce the guests like it's Love Boat or it's Fantasy Island. There'd be another comparison. So they don't have that kind of vantage point that something like Severance, which just seems like it's created out of whole cloth. They're just throwing it out there. So I think because of that, Severance is the best of the three. And there are like how many in the category? A lot. But So I'm going with Severance is going to win best drama. Are you in that category?
And here's another thing that I think with Severance. So you look at whose show is it? It's Ben Stiller's. When you think about Ben Stiller, do you think about these like deep sci-fi dramas?
No.
You think he's a comedian, right? It's sort of like Jordan Peele, who has gone off and made a name for himself as a horror director and writer. And you know, there's a guy that started in sketch comedy and went into completely different direction with the horror genre. And I think that's where this show does so well too, is because you have Ben Stiller, you don't expect him to do this type of work, and he's excelling at it. It's an amazing show.
Well, and Adam Scott, who was kind of a second banana before he got to this. And now he's a star. Yep. But I think in the drama category, they're going to sort these out. You're not going to see one show get 10 Emmys. I don't think that's possible. Because
I don't think so either.
Too much good here. And I was surprised that White Lotus kind of backfilled the supporting categories. They got a lot of people running for that. And I might have put somebody in Best Actor or Best Actress just to kind of test our chances. But they threw everybody in, and it's kind of like, you fight it out among yourselves. Because in the supporting actress category, they had four? So,
yeah, and then quite a few.
One from the pit. Is that going to be the one who wins because you're not part of the whole thing? I don't know. But I think this is where we're going to see the split. Best actor, they're going to give that to Noah Wiley. This is a make good from years of not giving him one for ER. He's a force behind the series. It gives him a shot at winning an award as an actor. And we got another year that we can give Adam Scott one. He isn't really primed for this. So I think it's Noah Wiley first, Adam Scott second.
I think that's fair. I really like Noah Wiley in The Pit. He was good. And yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Then you can give something to that show without saying, oh my God, this is the most creative new thing we've ever seen, when it actually looks like ER, you know?
Right.
So
to the point where they're getting sued.
Right. To the point that there's a lawsuit involved, but you can't really say that his performance was a party to that. You know what I mean?
Right.
His job as executive producer would be, but his acting, give him the prize. And then same thing with Best Actress. It's going to go to Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates has been on this victory run for a year now, since the show started, that, you know, oh, I was going to quit. I'm not going to do anything anymore. This is, I just love this show, but this will probably be the last thing I'll ever do. And they go, well, God, we got to get an Emmy out of the shelf here for her. She's already got two, but here's a chance to give her one. And it would become this, I find this really strange, the oldest Best Actress in a Drama winner. She's like 70 something. That's the oldest. I thought it would be somebody who's like 90, you know?
Right.
But yeah. Well,
I had to look it up too. She's 77. And in my mind, she's really not that old still. I mean, I guess she's been around forever. And
yeah, she doesn't seem it's not like it's Dick Van Dyke, for God's sakes.
No. You know? She has a lot of spunk to her. She's younger than she acts, I guess, or however you want to.
Well, you remember when Angela Lansbury was always nominated for Murder, She Wrote? Always. Never won it. And you think one of those years they could have tossed her one. Come on. They didn't you know, give her an honorary Lifetime Achievement Emmy. So they're kind of bitter people. So here's their chance. They better give it to Kathy Bates. Her biggest competition is Britt Lower from Severance. And I don't know if you say it was a better performance or what, but she's in next in line as I see it.
Okay.
And then you get to supporting, and here's where we get the White Lotus people. And I think Walton Goggins, again, we're paying off past mistakes. Walton Goggins should have won an Emmy by now. He has not. And here's a grand opportunity for that, even though some people are in the Sam Rockwell camp and think, let's give him the Emmy. But I think it's Walton Goggins from White Lotus. He's going to win that.
He has to win that. I mean, for a show that's basically one ensemble cast, right? And I think that's part of the reason why none of them were nominated in that Best Actor, Best Actress category.
Yeah, yeah.
But he stands apart from all of them.
Yeah, I think so too. And he has a very dramatic story arc where you go, oh, this isn't what he started out as, you know? There's a little more there. Yeah. So I think he deserves it. And you know what? You see him as all these kind of evil, kind of tough people. And in person, he is the nicest man ever. And he will be just tickled to death if he wins. I want to see that. That's the kind of performance I need out of him. And then supporting actress,
I'm with you.
I don't know which one of those. You know, Parker Posey, everybody was making fun of her accent. And she became kind of the breakout. She was like the Jennifer Coolidge of this season. And then
I agree.
It waned. People started saying, no, Carrie Coon. Well, I'm going, well, wait a minute. What happened to Carrie Coon in the Gilded Age? Couldn't she have been nominated for that somewhere here? And couldn't we give her one there? I mean, I'm, you know. And then the Amy Wood, is it? Amy Woods, who played Walton's girlfriend in the thing.
Right.
She's in there. Right. You know, and you go, who are you going to pick from this? Right now, the smart money is on Carrie Coon. And that's probably because she has a lot of television. But I still think there's a room for Parker Posey in there somewhere.
I love Carrie Coon in pretty much everything she does. I probably would lean a little bit more towards Parker Posey. Just because of that
the part wasn't that
role
big.
She had. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't that like, oh, wow, pay attention. And then we have Catherine Lanaza from The Pit, who could jump over all those White Lotus people and win it as the only one from her show.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But that's how I see them kind of shifting down the three shows. They're going to get something in some category, but they're not going to win it all.
Right. Right.
Then if you want,
it'll be interesting. Yep.
Can I go to the limit series? This is where I think adolescent sweeps. I think it has a really good shot at it. It's definitely, if you are going to Vegas and betting on something this weekend, bet on the kid, Owen Cooper, who plays a young boy who's the centerpiece of this whole adolescence. It's incredible what he does in this show, especially that one episode, the third episode. And if he doesn't win, they're fixed. I really think because there's nobody in that category who even comes close to him in terms of acting skill. Yeah. So I think he's a must. Okay. The woman who plays his counselor or his therapist, she seems like a must because the category isn't all that strong. And then we come to the lead performances. The guy who plays the boy's dad is extremely good, Stephen Graham, but he's also nominated for the show because he wrote the show and he also produced the show. So I think he has a chance to win there. That leaves the door open for Colin Farrell from The Penguin. And I mean, we can talk for days about how he explained the makeup in this, how he did his research. And I think here's a chance because I don't know if that'll ever come back, if we'll ever see a Penguin 2. And Kristen Milioti, who plays, you know, another one in The Penguin, she's great and she should win. But she is vulnerable because Michelle Williams did Dying for Sex. And that's a big showy kind of part. She could best her, but I'd like to see Kristen win.
Right.
So that's your limited series.
Her very limited role in one of my favorite TV shows of all time. She was the mother in How I Met Your Mother.
Right. And she's in Black Mirror this time for that second version of that Star Trek-y like thing. So there's enough there too where she could win. And I think it'd be fun to see her win. She would be one of those surprise ones where you go, I like her. She's good. So, and it's Michelle Williams would be has nice. One. Okay, then we get to comedy. And here is that old, how many times have we mentioned it? The Bear. Is it a comedy or isn't it a comedy?
It is not a comedy. I'm very easy. I'm somebody who you don't have to try very hard to make me laugh. So the fact that show never makes me laugh should speak for where it belongs in the comedy category, which is it does not.
Right. So then Hacks won last year. I think it could double up because I thought this year was just as strong. And then there's The Studio. And The Studio, I said this before, is one that people in the business are really high on. But I don't think it resonates with the average viewer. I don't think it's one where you go, oh my God, that's exactly how Hollywood is. Well, you don't know. And I think it's a little too, as you would say, inside baseball.
Correct.
For the business. But I would not be surprised if it does a lot of winning, because the voters might want to give something to their own business, especially since the business has been kind of rocky for the last year. It's set in Los Angeles, you know, they're bringing work back to the... So anyway, so I think I would still like to say Hacks will win Best Comedy, but I think the studio could be the one that beats it.
Well, and that's part of the reason, too, where I've really struggled to get into the studio, where it's like, I saw the trailers and I'm like, do I really want to watch this? It just seems like, you know, inside baseball. It's not, you know, if you're in that, if you're living in that universe, I could see it being really fascinating. But you know what the flip of it is there's that show that did great and I love it. It's one of my favorites of all time. And it's Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is a bit of an inside baseball kind of show, you know, not to the same degree, but it's Larry David, the Hollywood person who's living off his Seinfeld billions or millions or whatever it is. And obviously it's a highly fictionalized version of himself, but it's very much a Hollywood type of show. So I guess, you know, maybe I should be giving the studio a little bit of my time.
You don't see in the studio or in any other kind of comedy about Hollywood, Mr. Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid pitcher becoming a character in a movie. And they talk about this and how they, you know, how movies turn out so badly. It discusses that and maybe it helps you understand it, but so I think I'm going Hacks first, the studio second. It could flip flop. And you notice we don't have the Bear in there for best comedy.
No.
Best actor, though, Seth Rogen could win it because he's a player. He produces the studio. He's producing a lot of other things. He's producing movies. He doesn't seem like just that doper guy that we used to see in movies. You know, there's more to him. So here's their way of rewarding him. He could get best actor. Also, Jeremy Allen White could come back and win again because he's got your big Springsteen movie coming out and he's going to be Oscar bait. So they want to get a jump on that before the Oscar people, you know, say, oh, look who we discovered. And you go, wait a minute. No. He's been in the Bear all these years. He has already won twice, but he had a good year. This is not for the current season that we just watched, but the previous season. And it was good. But my dark horse for this one, Martin Short. Martin Short constantly delivers in the comedy category as a comedian. And I think that needs to be considered. So I would vote for Martin Short, but I won't be surprised if the other two were the winners.
Okay.
Best actress, you don't even need, again, start engraving that trophy. It's Jean Smart.
None
of the others, they don't come close to her. And yes, it would be her fourth for this show, but she deserves it. Supporting actor. Here's where we get to the studio as a potential. Ike Barinholtz is very, very funny as one of the people who works in the studio, and we can understand him. We can get what he's getting at. So I think he could be the surprise winner from the studio. But then you've got Harrison Ford in that category. Harrison Ford has never won anything. Well, Golden Globes, I'm sure, but never won the Oscar or the Emmy. And so that would be another one of those Kathy Bates things. Let's pay attention. If you look at the ones I've been mentioning, it could be a year full of let's pay off the old people before we lose them. So I think Harrison Ford could be the winner. And if we have a second
Ford's somebody who's, he's sort of one of those guys that just wins honorary awards because his
lifetime achievement.
Because he's been around for so long, but he's never really been, I mean, he's been nominated for best actor for Witness, but that was all the way back in 86.
And you know, he was good in Indiana Jones. Who could you see playing that role other than Harrison Ford?
He'll get an Oscar at some point, you know, like an honorary Oscar, but that's basically it.
When you're 90 and they wheel you up to the front and then you wave. Honorary awards.
But
he's still playing.
But I would give, I haven't seen enough of the shows he is so good in Shrinking. I absolutely love him in that role. And it's a role where you just don't, I feel like it's not him, you know? He's so cranky and he's such a curmudgeon in the show, but he's a lovable curmudgeon that it just feels like, you know, it's a good late in the career kind of role for him. And it's nice to see him in it. And I hope he keeps doing it for as many years as he can. It seems like he is having a lot of fun doing it.
It's not a gimme. You know how they would always get a big movie star to be in a TV movie, and suddenly you go, Well, she's getting it. I can tell that right now. And that's not this. This is somebody who actually is putting in the time and deserves to win.
Yeah.
So that's supporting actor, supporting actress. Now, this is weird because Hannah Einbinder has been nominated all the time that Jean Smart has, and it's kind of a two-hander. There are two people that are battling each other throughout the whole thing, and she's just as good as Jean Smart. She's just in a category that gets a lot of competition. So she should be a winner at some point. This could be her year. But The woman who plays the aspiring chef in The Bear, Liza Colon-Zayas, who won last year. Her best episode was the one that she had with the guy who's dead. And that was in this year's competition. How they make that distinction, I have no clue. And I think people will say, we already gave her one for that. So they might not vote for her. But she was the best performance. And then you throw in Catherine O'Hara from the studio. The ousted studio head. And she makes points, but I think Schitt's Creek gave her due. So I don't think they will be looking there. So I think it's Hannah. I really do think she's going to win, or Liza. That's my guess for comedy. So there you go. That's the main stuff. And another one that I think is a gimme, Stephen Colbert winning for best talk show.
Right.
Because they want to see the reaction. They, you know what it is. It is what it is. And he probably has a speech he's working on right now, just in case it is what it is.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So there you go. I mean, it'll be interesting to see Emmy Awards Sunday, September 14th, 7:00
on
Eastern
CBS.
Time.
And it's
on CBS.
Nate is going to be hosting it. Nick Bergazzi, are you familiar with him?
Bergazzi, right? Yep. Yeah, he's a fun comedian.
And they just had a Christmas special on with him. And I think, did you ever be left? What is this, Leftover? Are we trying to get the audience pumped for this? Or what are we doing here? But yeah, he'll be good. He'll be good and it'll be a good show. I'm sure it will be.
Yeah.
But before we start talking about the new season, we got to get rid of the old one.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So, that'll be interesting to see. So, obviously, tune in, check that out. And then next week, we're going to be talking a little bit Alien Earth, right? Now, we talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago, but you have an interview, correct?
Yeah, I have an interview, and it's a spoiler alert. It has a lot of spoilers. So, you'll be able to figure out what has happened by the time those episodes have aired. Fascinating. David Risdahl, who was in Fargo, was also handpicked by Noah Hawley, who created both of the series, to be in this one, and is kind of, if you will, a representative for him in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a chance to hear what he has to say. It's fascinating stuff. And he also talks about what those aliens are all like when they're on the ship.
Awesome. I am looking forward to that. I am caught up as far as all the episodes go so far. I like the show. I have been looking at some of the criticism of it on Rotten Tomatoes. I've noticed that critics, folks like you, really love the show. Some of the fans, not so much. It's still very positive reception from fans, but I think the problem with Alien in general is that after that first movie, all of them have been hit and miss. And I think for some fans of the show or some fans of the series in general, the show has been a bit of a miss for them. Now, me personally, I like it. I think it's a pretty good I think it's a good show, and I think it kind of does a nice job at introducing some new storylines to the franchise, but it's been fun so far. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know what I think happened? We get to binge it, so we get to see it all at once, right?
Yeah.
And the public has to wait each week. Is it enough to keep them waiting or watching through how many days of whatever?
Right.
And I think if you binge it, it might be a different lay in terms of how you perceive the series. So we'll see what happens. But get ready, because the last episodes are remarkable, even if you haven't been a big fan at the beginning.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, thanks again. And we will be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.